Hello, everyone. Welcome to Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis. Today's date is February 20th, 2022. This is episode 107, season 5, and I have a very interesting show coming up. And thank you for joining me today on a beautiful Sunday. I will discuss about that legendary WGN radio host, Wally Phillips, also about Pegasus Greek Restaurant. That was mentioned in the article in the Chicago Sun-Times. I will talk a little bit more about why. And also a wrap-up of this week's post on Vanished Chicagoland Facebook page. So it should be a lot of fun. Right now, the program will go into a commercial break, and appropriately enough, this program is brought to you by WGN Radio. And here is a commercial from Chicago, the WGN Radio Bird, if a lot of people remember that. And this is from the 1980s. So sit back and relax and enjoy. Thank you, everyone.
Hi, I'm Chicago. I have my own kind of politics, my own kind of music, my sports teams, and when I laugh, the whole world grins. I have my own radio station, WGN. We go all day, we go all night. Anytime you want me, just tune in here or give me a call.
WGN Radio is Chicago.
Alrighty, everyone. I am back. I hope you enjoyed that commercial. Boy, that took me back. I used to listen. I'm sure that commercial was on the radio as well. How funny. And a little interesting history about that bird. His name is Chicago. He was the mascot for WGN AM 720. That ran in the 80s to like the early 90s, the voice of the bird, I did a little research. The man's name was Robert Richter. He did the voice of the bird, you know, and he's on Facebook if you can go find him. So that's interesting, you know. And which comes to the subject which I'm going to talk about today is about Wally Phillips, who hosted the his own radio show for many, many years. I will get to him towards the end of the show. I'll talk about him. But first, I'm going to talk about a couple things. First, today is February 20th, and today is my father's birthday. And he's been deceased for 16 years, and I miss him every day. You know, and you know, he was a very complicated man. I mean, I loved him, but he was not a talker. He didn't communicate. But one thing, he was a good father. The one thing he did for me and my brothers, and of course my mom, well, you know, he provided us a home, and he put us through college, because his mother never sent him to school. I don't understand why. Oh, who knows? And he regretted that. And so he made sure that we went. I almost didn't want to go to college, but he talked me out of it. But I hated when he did that, but I'm glad he did. Thank goodness. And, you know, I felt the pressure. So he said, choose any college you want. I will pay for it, no matter what. And once I chose, you know, I chose a couple of them. You know, I went to Daly College. Then I went to DeVry. And he said, yeah, go ahead. I'll pay for it. I graduated and everything turned out fine. And then he bought me my first car. You know, it was a 1986 Chevrolet Cavalier. It was blue. There's a picture of me and my mom in front of it in the 80s. I've got to dig that up and post it. And, you know, I'm very appreciative and thankful for him. You know, sometimes I'm very sad that he's gone. You know, but he was frustrating at times. You know, he didn't listen to anybody. I think people understand that. Anyway, all right. So today, before I get into Wally Phillips and I'll talk about Pegasus Greek Restaurant, I will do a wrap up of today, of this week's post on Vanished Chicagoland Facebook page. That should be fun. Okay. First off, I posted a couple photos about some candy bars that I missed when I was a kid. And there were four of them that I liked a lot. And one was Chocolite from Nestle's. Someone says there's a candy bar called Arrow, and it's similar to that. I never had it. I don't know. The other one was Rally from Hershey's. The other one was Forever Yours, which now is Milky Way Midnight or Milky Way Dark. Yeah, that's the same thing. And finally was the Marathon Bar, and people love the Marathon Bar. They still miss it, and I love it too, but it's another candy bar they call Curly Whirly. I think that's sold in England or Australia. I'm not sure. And it's similar to that. It's similar, you know, but Marathon was the best. I love it. Oh, I think that's the one that people want, that one to return. They want it back. I don't know why. You know, it was great. Those commercials during the 70s were awesome. They're funny. You can find them on YouTube. You know, and entertain yourselves. Go right ahead. Also, the next post I did about a home juice called the Home Juice Company. I think they're still around, but I don't know if they still deliver. But they were very prominent in the 50s and the 60s. I remember maybe the early 70s, and they delivered fresh orange juice to your home, like Milkman. And my mother never had that service. She always bought it at the store. But people loved it. And they said it was delicious. It was awesome. I could understand that. So it is still around, I believe, somewhere in Melrose Park, Illinois. I don't know if it's the same. But I posted a picture of the truck. And people remember that truck. They remember the, you know, it was orange and green. Beautiful, beautiful. Next up, I posted two kinds of cameras, one Kodak and Polaroid. One was an Instamatic camera. The other one was the Polaroid, you know, the flip thing. You know, like you press the photo and then pops out a picture and you have to wait till it materializes and you see, you know. And my mother had the Instamatic camera. She had like maybe three or four during that time. And we never owned that Polaroid. But I had a Vivitar camera. And it was bought, and it was bought to me as a graduation present in eighth grade in 1977. And I still have the camera. Someday I will buy the film, you know, and see if it works. Kind of cool, you know. Next up is I found a catalog for W. Bell and Company from 1982. They had a few locations in Chicago. I think they were based in Maryland, but they had a few in, like I said before, they had a few locations in the Chicagoland area. One was in Schaumburg, Oak Brook Terrace, and I think in Oakland, Illinois. I remember going to that one. They weren't around very long. They were in the 80s. You know, they were there, poof, they were gone. Okay. That was funny. And next up, this post was so popular, you know, it's Crocs and Bertano's bookstore. You know, every time I post something about that bookstore, it is amazing. It is tremendous. I get tremendous responses from people. They want this bookstore to come back because it was right in the center of the loop on Wabash Avenue. And they remember the, they sold the paperbacks in the basement, and they had the greeting cards, the maps. And it was my favorite place when I worked in City Hall in the 1980s. And I was during my lunchtime, I always went there, and there was like, they had everything, any kind of book you want. They had it. Even if they didn't have it in stock, you go up and say, I would like to have the book. And they would say, no, it's not in stock, but we'll order it for you. And they did. It took a while, but they did their research. You know, they were very dependable people. You know, they were wonderful. And it closed in 1995, which is a shame. You know, I still go to a bookstore. I still go to Barnes & Noble's. I used to go to Borders, but that's closed. So, but I love going to a bookstore. It's very relaxing. You browse. They have chairs. You can sit down and read or go to Starbucks. They have a Starbucks in-house. You can have a cup of coffee and read a book. It's wonderful. I love doing that. I love to read. I know I'm such a nerd when they talk about this. But a lot of people want this bookstore to come back. They really do. And it's fascinating. Fascinating. You know, they had other locations in the Chicagoland area. They didn't have one in Fort City, surprisingly enough. But they did have one in Evergreen Plaza. And I never went to that one. So usually I went to the downtown area location. Okay. And another thing I posted was a restaurant. It was called Lawrence of Oregano. It was located at 662 West Diversity Parkway in Chicago. I never heard of this restaurant, and it was a lettuce entertainment restaurant, you know, owned by Rich Melman. And one thing I didn't know, that it was Ronnie Rice, from the lead singer of New Colony 6, sang there. You know, I love his songs. They're classics from the 60s. Wonderful singer. Oh, you know, that was interesting. But the menu looked real authentic. Real authentic Italian food. Italian is my second favorite. Greek is first. So that's an awesome menu I found. And it was from 1976. Times have changed, you know. And the other thing, another restaurant that I posted was Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips. Excuse me. I found a takeout bag. They were a chain that was in the probably like the 70s. And I never tried their fish. I don't know why. I tried their chicken once with the chicken planks. They were good, you know, boneless. According to most people, the fish was delicious. And I think there was a rumor that at first they had from cod to, I forgot what other fish, they switched fish. And then it declined in popularity. And then they closed all of them. There's still a few remaining on the East Coast. I think there's one left, probably Maryland, Ohio. I don't know. But it was, Arthur Treacher was an actor. And he was the sidekick on the Merv Griffin show in the 60s. And I remember watching him on the Beverly Hillbillies. He played a butler. You know, but if you say Arthur Treacher to someone younger than 30, under 30, no, they don't know who he is. Not that. You got to explain. Okay. Next, I found a sweatshirt from Sport Mart. I will talk about Sport Mart in a later podcast episode, because that's an interesting company. You know, I remember one Sport Mart store that was in the shopping plaza at 103rd and Cicero in Oklahoma, Illinois. Yeah, I went maybe once or twice. I'm not a sports fan, but if I needed something, you know, they had everything. Basketballs, baseball bats, fishing equipment, camping equipment. They had everything. It was a good store. Very good store. I think it was the owner was the same owner who owned Children's Bargain Town, then later converted to Toys R Us. I got to do a little more research on that. So that's interesting enough. And then, so that's it for the wrap of the post I did on Vanished Chicagoland Facebook page. Now, I'm going to talk about Pegasus Restaurant very briefly. That closed in 2017, and I went one time. It's located on Halsted Street in Greektown. They had the rooftop restaurant, and they had a bar and all that, and it's wonderful to eat when the weather is very pretty, you know, very nice. I wouldn't eat when it's humid. It's terrible. Or the wintertime. I'm sure it was closed then. And this week, I think this week we're recently, they tore down the building, and next door was Santorini, and that closed as well. And according to the Sun Times, they're going to build a mixed-use luxury apartments, like we need more of that over there. But according to someone, he said they might try to open a Greek restaurant on the first floor. I hope so. They do that. And, you know, and they found a mural. There was a mural on the wall, you know, between the restaurants, and it's painted by a Serbian, and it looked gorgeous. It really did. And I hope they're going to keep that. I don't know if they're going to keep it or not. I hope so. You know, But Pegasus was a good Greek restaurant. My favorite is Greek Islands. Thank God it's still there. I go to the one in Lombard, Illinois. That one's good as well. And there are very few Greek restaurants on Halsey Street. It's changed. The neighborhood has changed. It's gotten expensive. There's a lot of people moving in. There's like high rises. It's almost unrecognizable. You know, they had a Mariano's there. Never had that before. And so there's a few left. I think there's Nine Muses. There's the Athena restaurant. I've never been there. Roditi's closed. Parthenon closed. Roditi's building is still there. I think, well, the Parthenon now is a Spectrum sports bar. It's a sports bar, but they do serve Greek food there, which I've heard. I've never been there. Roditi's, I love there. I like their lamb. That was delicious. I remember taking a friend of mine there in the 80s, and because he was a huge, he wasn't Greek, he was Italian, and he says, I love the lamb there, and we went, you know, the building was old-fashioned, and you know what, the last time I went to Roditi's was about before it closed. They still had the old-fashioned cash register with the, you know, it wasn't digital, it was like the, you know, with the numbers flipping up and down, very silver. Oh, it's a antique. And now it's a weed dispensary place. So people go there to buy pot, you know, and then while in the old days, people had saganaki and lamb and they did Greek dancing and either calamari or octopus. Well, you know, now these people go in and buy, you know, marijuana for leisurely. It's kind of funny. So it's it. But one thing I complain about is like people are moaning and groaning about Greek time. They want it the way it was. No, I mean, times have changed. You know, people my age or younger, they don't really want to own a place. They don't want to cook or own a restaurant. Some do, some don't, but it's expensive over there. But hopefully it lost its identity a little bit. But hopefully maybe they can compromise. You know, there's still that flavor. They still have that. You know, the ambiance of Greek, when you hear the Greek music, when you walk in a restaurant. I hope so. Fingers crossed. Okay. Now, I will talk about Wally Phillips. And, you know, he was a very interesting fellow. To be truthful, I never really listened to him. I listened occasionally when I was growing up. I knew who he was. And, he had his own radio show for 21 years, from January 1965 to 1986. And then he left and had an afternoon show. I don't know if that was voluntarily or a management decision. I'm not sure. I don't know. But that people didn't like that. According to what they said, they were used to him in the morning. And then one day they woke up and they turned him on. It wasn't him. It was somebody else because he was in the afternoon. And I'll give you a little biography about him. He was born in Portsmouth, Ohio. And then they moved to Cincinnati. And then he attended drama school. And then he became a DJ at Grand Rapids, Michigan. Then he returned to Cincinnati, and then he became a radio personality in WLW in Cincinnati, and he mixed pre-recorded interviews, you know, as like comedy sketches like that. He still did until the end. He did that, and then he met Bob Bell. As Bozo the Clown, and they had a TV show together in the late 50s. I forget the name of it. They were on the radio together, and they became very friends, you know. And then he was the king of the morning radio, and he attracted a lot of people. One of his funniest things he did, he played pranks. And he would call, you know, he would call like for example, like payphones. There's no payphones these days. He would call a random payphone, and he would see who would answer the payphone. That's kind of funny. You know, it's like Candid Camera, you know, or like on what they call Punked on MTV. Anyway, so he also had a very interesting promotion, and it was called Wally's Black Box. Now, Wally's Black Box, he wrote an, this is the story of that, which I find it fascinating because I had no idea about that. Maybe I heard of it, but I totally forgot it. One of the shows he did in 1975, he announced that he was writing the name of a famous person, not famous, but, you know, and he wrote it on a piece of paper, put it in a black box and locked it. And then he would have a contest, and the first listener would call would win a cash prize to guess what he wrote. And it started with $1,500, and each day he added $1 each day. And people called in, they never guessed who it was, never did. And then by about 1982, it was nearly $4,000. Is that something? So that's 7 years, you know. Somebody said that the mystery person that he wrote passed away, and that wasn't true. But it was a false alarm, and so Wally Phillips decided to end the contest. So on February 24th, 1982, he revealed the name, what was written in the black box. And the person was, her name was Jean Rogers. She was an actress in Hollywood. And she was famous for playing Dale Arden in those Flash Gordon serials, like in the 30s. And I remember watching those on Channel 9 late at night on WGN. And I remember saying they were great with Buster Crabbe. And I remember Ming the Merciless, you know. They were fun to watch at that time. You know, I wish they'd bring those back. And so she was invited on the show, and first they had to search her, and they did. And then she was, he interviewed Jean Rogers, and they said it was a fun show. And the money that he collected went to charity. So that was nice of him. So that was great. You know, he did that. And it must have been fun listening. I wish I'd listened to that, you know, because it's like a good guessing game like that. And so Wally Phillips continued, and he retired in 1998. And then he passed away in 2008, March 26, he was 82 years old. He had Alzheimer's, which is very sad. And I remember he wrote a book. I can't think of the name of the book. So all I know is he promoted the book at Kroc and Bertano's. He did a signing there, like most celebrities. Also, they had like a giveaway at Polk Brothers. So if you bought any appliance, any item there, you get the book for free. Or maybe for a discount price. Anyway, so that was very interesting. He seemed like a very nice man, but according to some people, he was so lively on the radio, but when he was off the air, he was very quiet, reserved, distant. He never talked. I guess he was thinking all the time. A lot of people thought he was aloof. Wasn't so. Wasn't true at all. Okay. All right. So that'll be all for today's episode. This is episode 107 of Vanishing Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pico Stennis, and I hope you enjoyed the show today. It was a lot of fun. I'm still nervous. Hopefully I'll do a show on Tuesday or next weekend. We'll see. We'll see about that. And I hope everyone will enjoy the rest of the day. It's very warm, thank God. You know, we had the snow and all that, but it's going to snow again at the end of the week. Ugh. Waiting for February to end. Thank God it's only 28 days. Okay. So this is Pico Stennis, your host, and thank you for joining me. And here is a little traveling music from Ray Rayner. So take it away, Ray. Song, everybody.
We have to go. Bye, bye, bye.